Hello and welcome to another episode of Full Court Finance. I'm your host, Ben Raines. And as always, we have an episode about the intersection of sports, business, and the stock market. And this week, we're going to be talking about something, or a company, I should say, that's been in the news a lot recently, and that is Under Armour. And the basic premise of this episode is going to be to explain and touch on what's been happening, sort of their rise, and is it a fall? I mean, they have fallen recently, but is it something they will be able to recover from? And where do they go from here if they can recover from this relative downturn they've had recently? And to answer these pretty big questions, we have to then look into smaller questions. And some of the basic questions are, what caused the brand to slip? Are they in real big trouble? Like, are there real big problems that they need to fix or they are doomed? And what can they do to turn the tides, if anything? And a lot of people are going to say that the retail shift and the decline of brick and mortar has been their biggest problem. But it's not really as simple as that, because if it was, then maybe they would be in trouble and there would be nothing they could do. But it's not just that people are shifting their retail purchasing habits, it's more. So before we get into all of that, I'm going to give you a brief background if you don't know that much about Under Armour. So to start, it has this sort of classic startup mom's garage, but this case, it's actually, I believe, Kevin Plank, who is the CEO. It was his grandmother's basement where he started Under Armour after he graduated from the University of Maryland. So he started in 1996. He was a former special teams football player at Maryland, and he didn't want to sweat in his cotton t-shirts. So he came up with this new sports shirt that would wick sweat away, and that is how it started. That's the basic gist of it. They blew up a little bit in 1999. His gear appeared in Any Given Sunday, an Al Pacino and Jamie Foxx movie. Later, he bought his first ESPN the Magazine print ad, and they started making some inroads with Major League Baseball and the NHL. And then that's when things started to really take off. So, 96 to then, by 2003, they had a big national television ad campaign, the Protect This House, if anyone remembers. And that's when it also launched its women's line, and it officially launched kids, so boys and girls line, and started their outdoor business. And then a year later, they started their golf business. In that same year, they signed Maryland football to an apparel deal. So within 7 years or so, I guess it's actually more like it, 8 or 9 years. So he started his company in his grandma's basement, and then all of a sudden he's sponsoring his alma mater's football team, the team he played for. They go public in 2005 when they had like $281 million in revenue. So not that much. So 2005, they go public. They debut athletic footwear in 2008. They had done cleats a little bit earlier. And then by 2010, they're signing Tom Brady, Michael Phelps. Auburn wins the national title wearing Under Armour gear. Cam Newton then becomes an Under Armour player and wins Rookie of the Year in the NFL. And they hit $1 billion in revenue in 2010. So in 5 years, they jump from $281 million in revenue to $1 billion, which is a pretty crazy jump. A year later, they start sponsoring Tottenham Hotspurs, which is a club based in London in the English Premier League. And then this is something Kevin Plank will say as well. They became the sponsor of Notre Dame. So all athletic apparel for Notre Dame in 2014. They spent $90 million to do that. And he said at the time that was sort of a seminal moment for him. It was an aha, like, wow, we're sponsoring Notre Dame. Under Armour, this company I started not that long ago, all by myself relatively, just in a basement after college, is now sponsoring one of the most historic college programs in the country. In that same year, they became the second largest sportswear brand in the United States, overtaking Adidas, and made $3.1 billion that year. So they've grown really quick if you're following along with this storyline. And then in 2016, their 20-year anniversary as a company, Under Armour signed a 10-year deal with Major League Baseball to have Under Armour sponsor Major League Baseball jerseys. But that won't kick off until 2020. So that's sort of the brief gist of the history of Under Armour. And now the question is, what happened recently that has investors in people who are close to the retail space and Under Armour themselves relatively nervous? So like, what happened recently? What happened is they grew really quickly, and that is somewhat of the problem. So they grew at a really rapid pace. They peaked at $50 a share in July 2015, and now they currently sit around $11. And that's almost where they were in 2013. So if you can picture it, it almost looks like a bell curve of how they've gone up and down within the last sort of 4 or 5 years or so. So before their most recent quarter, well, not directly before the most recent quarter, but they had a run of 26 consecutive quarters where their sales jumped at least 20%, which is pretty crazy. And that ran all the way through quarter three of 2016. So it ended the holiday quarter of 2016 when sales only grew about 12% from the year before. But they still posted almost $5 billion in revenues in 2016, up 20% on the year, and it wasn't that bad. But that year, they did also then, right after they had overtaken Adidas as the number two sports brand in the United States, Adidas retook that number two position in 2016 in the fall. So things started to change, you could say, about a year ago this time. So a year ago in the fall, things started slowing down, you could say, for Under Armour. And then this summer, their growth continued to slow. In quarter two, they decided they were going to go through a little bit of a restructuring plan. It's going to cost them $150 million. They're reducing their workforce by 2%, cutting 280 jobs. They hired a new president and chief operating officer in June who's going to make some more changes. And so that's what happened this summer. But right before their most recent earnings, quarter three, the co-founder and Kevin Plank's right-hand man stepped down to take a leave of absence from the company just like 4 days before they reported quarter three earnings, which sort of, I guess, could have been a warning sign of what might happen. And so when they reported quarter three earnings on Halloween, it was an oh no moment for a lot of investors and the company themselves, because sales fell for the first time ever year over year since they went public. Revenues dropped by 5%, earnings plummeted. And I mean, that can happen. It's retail. And as you know, retail has been struggling. But if you look a little deeper into it, how they're struggling is really not good for them. Obviously, struggling isn't good at all, but specifically where they're struggling is not good because it's basically their whole business. So North American sales fell by 12%. Their wholesale revenues fell by 13%, and their apparel revenue specifically dropped by 8%. And that is all very bad news for Under Armour because they are pretty much a North American company. 75% of their sales come in North America only, and they're a big wholesale business, so that's 60% of their sales, and apparel is also 60% of their sales. So those drop-offs in those specific North American wholesale and apparel revenue categories is not good. And those need to be fixed before the company can move forward and before investors can sort of regain a little bit of confidence in the direction the company is going. And so on the earnings call, Kevin Plank, the CEO, he sounded a little dejected. From reports I read, I did not listen in on the earnings call, but people said he sounded sort of sad, openly sad, which is kind of weird. You'd think he'd try to paint a little bit of a brighter picture, but he said there was two big contributing factors to why they had their first ever revenue decline. The first was tough conditions in our largest market, which I already explained, North America, and complexities as a result of rapid growth. So basically he's saying North American sales are bad because the North American market is hard to figure out right now in terms of retail, and we just grew too big and it harmed us. So they're going to try to streamline their business. That's going to be what some of the job cuts are. The new COO is going to help this, and they're going to try to simplify some of their go-to-market strategies that have become a little complex and have hampered them from bringing new products to market as quickly as they would like. And for investors, our projections at Zacks are their fourth quarter revenues are supposed to fall a little bit year over year, but their full year revenues are supposed to be up like 2.4%, and they're going to be around $5 billion again. And for a little perspective, though, there is a little bit of... So right after they released their earnings on Halloween, they had a little bit of a mass exodus from the company. It's not that they were firing people. I don't know this for sure, but it seemed like a mutual parting of ways. Their marketing chief is leaving. Their senior vice president of women's and youth categories is leaving. Their president of sports fashion is stepping down soon. And their stock price has fallen almost over 60. I think it's over 60% at this point. I don't know when you're going to be listening to it, but it's relatively since the start of the year, it's down over 60%. And that's not good for anyone involved. And it has left a lot of people pretty nervous. And now the questions are, what are the big problems and what exactly happened? I mean, how did revenues decline? And one of the big problems is Sports Authority went bankrupt. So that's what Kevin Plank was talking about. Finish Line sales have been down. Dick's Sporting Goods sales have been down. Foot Locker sales have been down. And that is where they, like I said, do a majority of their business is these wholesale sporting goods retailers. So that is something that they're going to have to deal with going forward and do more direct to consumer business. Another big problem is something that they should be able to fix, but not overnight. And that is that their performance gear, which is what they've been known for and what the company started as, is becoming less and less popular because that category in general just isn't growing. And what is growing is the sports leisure, or the athleisure is the buzzword phrase. And it's sort of this more fashion forward, fashionable sports gear. So Nike and Adidas have become known for this, is that it's more casual sports gear. So it's not people who are training for a marathon. They're not buying those clothes as much as they were before. And basketball is not growing, but casual weekend sporting goods wear is growing. Another problem for Under Armour is their women's shoes division is slumping when that division as a whole in North America is growing. Like, that's growing really big and theirs slumped. So they're going to need to figure out what to do there. And one of the first things they're going to do is maybe cut some of their smaller brands to help put some of their resources towards these more fashion forward things that are growing. So they're thinking about getting out of small segments like fishing and even tennis, which they have big pro sponsors like Andy Murray and Sloane Stephens, who just won the US Open as an American. But they're not alone. Some of these problems are industry wide, but some of them are specific to them because some of their competitors, Nike and Adidas mostly, their global brands are ready. And Under Armour is, like I said, 75% of their sales are in North America. So these struggles in North America are something that they're going to be affected by much more than, say, Nike and Adidas. And in terms of sneaker sales, and this is something that Under Armour also really needs to work on, is sneakers are a big deal, and they obviously have Steph Curry as someone they sponsor, and his shoes are relatively popular, but the shoes that are really popular are shoes that people can wear no matter what. So in terms of the top 10 selling sneakers in 2016, and these are the most recent numbers that I have, obviously, there was only one current athlete's model of sneaker that was on this top 10 list, and that was Nike's Kyrie Irving shoes. The Kyrie 2s were the 10th selling apparel or 10th selling athletic shoe in the United States. And the number one shoe was Adidas, their Superstars, which is those white shoes that are just casual sneakers. No one's playing basketball in those. It's not the 1960s. So that is something Under Armour really needs to figure out, because they didn't have any shoe on that list. And they also need to just grow that category as a whole, because apparel for them is taking up 60% of their business, whereas their biggest competitors, who are much larger than them, Adidas and Nike, it's sort of the reverse, where footwear takes up about 60% of their revenues. And even, so I guess I'd say, as we're on the topic of shoes, just as a little side note, the Curry 4s, Steph Curry's newest shoes, which have been relatively well-received, unlike the Curry 3s, which got trashed all over the internet and even during games on broadcasts. They were supposed to debut on October 27th. Pre-order sold out on underarmor.com for $130, but now this is what Kevin Plank was sort of talking about. They're not even prepared to sell their biggest athlete's shoe on time. So Dick's and some of their other wholesale retailers won't even be able to ship those shoes until November 18th at the earliest, and it seems like there might even be issues before then. And this is now getting me into their competition. So their big competition is Nike and Adidas, and they are footwear giants who also are global giants. But Nike has gone through some of the same, I should say, growing pains, I guess, as Under Armour in the United States, North America. So their stock hasn't been hurting this year. It's not growing as much as normal. It's up like 8.5% so far this year. But their North American wholesale revenues were flat. Their earnings fell in their most recent quarter, and their footwear sales were down in North America, which is a big deal for Nike. And their apparel was down in North America. So it's not just Under Armour for everyone worried. Like, it has to just be them. They're doing something wrong. It's sort of a cyclical retail thing in the U.S. But Nike just has more leeway because they're a much bigger company. They're supposed to make $35 billion, almost $36 billion this next year, where Under Armour's making five. So they're obviously on a different scale at the moment. And they're even trying to do some realignment, much like Under Armour. So that puts into perspective of big companies like Nike are even worried that the North American retail market is going to be sort of shifting so much that they have to change their processes. And they're doing a lot of direct to consumer, and they're really pumping money into the new Nike Direct, which is what Under Armour needs to do as well, is get it direct to consumer online business. That's what's growing. And number two retailer for sports in America that overtook Under Armour recently is Adidas. And they are really, really doing well. And this is sort of a model that Under Armour, as I'll get to soon, needs to hopefully try to adopt some of what Adidas is doing to have them be so successful in the United States. So their shares are up like 35% this year. Their revenues are up in the second quarter like 20%. Their revenues are up 26% in the U.S. And they're supposed to make $25 billion this year, 20% this quarter. By the time you're listening to this, they will have reported, but they're reporting after I record the podcast. So I don't know their most recent results, but they are doing very, very well. And that is because they have grown this athleisure footwear section of their business, where people can wear it with jeans, people can wear it on the weekends. And that is what Under Armour needs to start doing. Because for all these big athlete endorsers, it doesn't seem that that has really done much to help them. In fact, I mean, they have Tom Brady, they have Steph Curry, they have Jordan Spieth, Cameron Newton, Bryce Harper, all of these guys, Clayton Kershaw, Dwayne The Rock Johnson is an Under Armour sponsor. He's like the biggest movie star on the planet. I mean, at one point, Curry, Newton, Harper all won MVPs of their respective leagues. So Major League Baseball, the NFL, and the NBA, all in 2015. Spieth won the Masters in 2015. Tom Brady won the Super Bowl in 2015. So those are all Under Armour athletes, yet it doesn't really translate directly. Like, you need those guys. They're helping them out in general, because if you don't have these top athletes, you're not perceived to be this big mega brand. but it's not necessarily directly leading to the business growing. And to wrap things up in the next couple minutes or so, I'm going to touch on a little bit of the positives, if there are any. And I would say there are. So Under Armour's international revenues are up like 35% in their most recent quarter. Their Asian Pacific revenues specifically were up 51%. But it's still a really small portion of their business. But that's good that it's growing. Any growth is good. And those markets are only going to expand as those economies get bigger and they start to have a bigger middle class, especially in China. Their direct-to-consumer business grew in the most recent quarter by 15%, which is a big deal, and that is what they need to start doing as the decline of Dick's Sporting Goods continues and big athletic retailers in the United States. That's positive. Golf has been really strong for them. That is something they can continue to grow, but it's not going to be a big growth business because just not enough people play golf. In fact, golf's popularity in the U.S. is trending downward relatively, which is sad because I'm a big golf guy. I love playing golf, but that's beside the point. One thing they are doing though, like I was talking about before, is this fashion. They're trying to make a push to be a fashion forward sports brand like Nike and Adidas have. So in 2016 in the summer, they hired Tim Kopens. I believe that's how you pronounce his name. He is a menswear designer that's been nominated for some awards. He's pretty big in the menswear scene. If you know that scene, I am not as familiar, but they hired him. He is supposed to be leading this new Under Armour Sportswear UAS, their division. It's going to be athleisure, like I said. That is what they're trying to do to grow the business, and that is what they need to try to do because that is what's growing in the U.S. especially. And that does it for another episode of Full Court Finance here at Zacks. Until next time, I'm your host, Ben Raines. And remember, as always, if you have any questions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcasts@zacks.com.